Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open,
my door's always open
to dreamers and friends.
Dreamers and friends.
Oh, when I'm attacked,
oh, oh, oh,
I protect and defend, because my name is America.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance, and that would be goflca.org. Folks, we're going to devote a bunch of time today to the Alliance and the project that I keep on talking about, which is called the micro school. And people have been asking me, what is a micro school? So I thought it'd be a very good idea to introduce you to someone who is actually putting together a micro school. And we'll talk about that, plus some of the wonderful things that the Alliance is doing. But before we get started, there are a couple of important things that happened this past week, and I wanted to go over them because it's time we had a win, and the wins are coming in a lot better. Unfortunately, our mainstream media doesn't talk about them. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Liz Cheney and the atrocity that she did that destroyed any credibility that the J6 committee had. And slowly, slowly, drip by drip, the truth is coming out. This past week, we found out that they suppressed actual evidence where President Trump asked for 10,000 plus troops to be in DC, not because he was expecting a riot, but because he was expecting a large crowd. And a large crowd and loud crowd always brings with it, who knows? And it was better to be prepared. Well, first of all, he was denied that request by Nancy, who is in charge. And then that evidence was suppressed from the J6 hearing. So now a whole bunch of people, almost over 1,000 people, are in jail for something that should never have even happened. The reason why they use the word insurrection is because insurrection is in the Constitution and it becomes a legal term. So even though this was not even close to being an insurrection, because I never saw any guns and I never saw any bombs and I never even saw any graffiti and nobody destroyed anything. So how could that be an insurrection? Well, it wasn't. It was a demonstration to me that some people riled up and made into a riot. And there's a big difference between a riot and an insurrection. So we have that win because that information is coming out. She is just a Trump hater from beginning to end. And we'll base that on her last name, Cheney, because her father is in that same category. She was also the one, by the way, who was pushing the Russia hoax. Russia, Russia, Russia. President Trump is a Russian agent. That was Liz. So we have a lot to thank her for. In addition, a judge finally said the sentences of the J6 people are way out of line to what they have done. So we will see where that one goes. But these people should be out of jail. Some of them are even in jail and haven't even had a trial yet. That is an absolute travesty. So we have a lot of those good things that are happening. And I just saw that Portugal had a win. Goodness gracious, an absolute win for the conservatives who kicked out the socialists in their government. So that was another one, is bringing in nationalists, people who love their country, who want Portugal to be great again. So this is a very catchy thing. And it seems as though the world is waking up and saying, no, we are not going to be part of the WEF. We're not going to let that happen. So kudos to Portugal. The last thing that I wanted to go over offer was a very disturbing article that I read, and that was that in America, we have lost approximately 140,000 farms. And that is a frightening thing, especially because they are trying to promote a food shortage. Well, if you take away the farmer's right to be able to farm and you make it so impossible for them to do it, then they're not going to do it. And guess what we're going to have? We're going to have a food shortage. And of course, instead of teaching our kids the right thing in school, they are saying it is climate and it's due to climate change. No, it's not. It's due to overregulation, not being able to get the proper fertilizers for the farms. And another thing that's happening, which nobody really mentions, and that is technology. Technology is taking away the workers on the farms. So I got a question. If the technology is removing the workers and the farmers are able to produce as much with technology and not use as much land, then why are we importing millions of illegals who, quote, are going to work in the fields? That's another lie that our government is promoting. But all of these lies filter to one place. And to me, the sad part is they filter to our schools. Our schools are in a horrible condition. Our children are not learning anything except to hate their parents, their country, and God. That's what they learn when they're in school. They're not learning reading, writing, math. They're certainly not learning math. And they're not learning anything such as farming. Many of the kids think that your vegetables come out of a can or they're in the frozen freezer. They have no relationship to what they really are. So now I want to bring back the Florida Citizens Alliance because they have developed a wonderful program. And that program is called the Microschool. And I have asked Ray Sanchez, who is an old friend from the Tea Party days. And Ray has done an amazing job and continues with the Volusia 912 Patriots. He's the director and founder and has brought it upon himself to introduce the microschool into Volusia County. And this is a wonderful thing because it gets our kids out of those indoctrination clinics masquerading as public schools. Maybe our kids will have a chance. So, Ray, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And more than anything, I appreciate what you're doing with the microschool. So maybe you can tell everyone, because I keep on getting email saying, I wasn't a teacher. I don't know how to do this. What am I going to do? And here's Ray, who I know wasn't a teacher, but what is this microschool all about?
Well, thank you, Karen. And thank you for all you do for the cause of liberty. We need more patriots standing up to what's happening in our world. And we're seeing a culmination of what's happened in our public education system for over a century. And unfortunately, right now, we're at a point where I think this is a call upon us as citizens to do what this micro school initiative is all about. I was very pleased to see that Florida Citizens Alliance is jumping on board with this movement. You're seeing a lot of really high profile people start to get it as well. Kirk Cameron is one. He's written several books, one called The American Covenant that talks about it. Pete Hegseth has done a remarkable job in the battle for the American mind, and talks about our Western Christian pedia, which means pedia, which is a Greek term. And if you know the word encyclopedia, it's the end part of the pedia part, which means really a belief system and really the affections, the knowledge and the virtue together of learning. That creates a culture. And as we know, and Andrew Breitbart famously said one time that, you know, politics is downstream of culture. Well, in Pete Hegseth's book, he goes one step further. A pastor of his says that that the culture is downstream of religion. And really, religion, when he talks about it, is your belief system, your conscience, that, as you know, many of our great founders talked about conscience being the most sacred property. And so we're seeing a taking of our children's minds, and that's been going on for over a century. And so this micro school initiative, I don't even like to call them schools anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm starting one in my neck of the woods in Ormond Beach, and I'm calling it just an academy. And it really is going to be a Bible-based teaching, going back to classical Christian education, which is what this country, how great this country became great. Really, if you think of Western civilization, that Padilla that I was talking about was robbed from us. So it's not so much so, which is horrible enough, all the things that they're injecting into our public school system now. This is now a culmination of going from that Western Christian, Padilla to what used to then move to an American culture progressive Padilla to now a cultural Marxist one that is destroying from within our foundation and separating and dividing people. So we have to get back to that fundamental, the foundation this country was built on. And I think this is one way we've often, you and I have talked about this for over a decade or so, about the need for real, true education to get back to this so that we can have a culture and the next generation has an opportunity for liberty. So what we're doing is starting these, what they call micro school initiatives, that really will start out as smaller schools, usually under the umbrella of a church, which is probably the best way to start, and then grow from there, but really focus on a classical Christian education and work hard to really instill the virtue and knowledge necessary for liberty. We all know that our founders knew that as well. They often talked about only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. So if we don't inculcate the next generation with this legacy that we still, as remnants of it, have and are still benefiting from, we should make it a point to really work hard to pass on, which is the most important legacy that we can, to our future generations.
Oh, that is so wonderful. And folks, let's not get confused with religion and the object of morality and virtue, because that's really what our founders were striving at. They were not saying, oh, you must be a Catholic, or you must be a Christian, or you must be a Lutheran or a Presbyterian. No, they weren't saying that. What they were saying was, you have to be virtuous. You have to be able to understand that everything that you do requires a choice. And if your choice is to improve yourself and those around you, that's being virtuous. If your choice is to destroy, well, that is what the other side is doing. That's the Marxist attitude. They have to destroy, they have to create chaos so that the people will be living in a state of fear instead of in a state of morality and virtue and reward. They won't experience those things. And unfortunately, that's what's going on in our schools today. And it doesn't matter what laws the people make. It doesn't matter what the Tallahassee comes up with, what the governor signs. When the teacher stands in front of a class and she says, oh, you could have 67 genders and it doesn't matter what you are today, nobody knows that that's going on. And that's the part that's wrong, because that's the part that destroys the virtue, and that's the part that destroys the morality. You are not doing anyone a favor when you are eliminating the object of school, teaching, reading, writing, math. That's all they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to tell anyone how to think, what to think. They're not supposed to do that. What they are supposed to do is to be able to say, these are the sounds of the letters, and when you put them together, you'll be able to sound out the word. This is the way you put together a math program. Get rid of your calculator, or if you want to use a calculator, use it to check yourself. But you need to know how to do that first. And this is not going on in our schools. we've seen that. It is so evident when we look at our scores, and 80% of the kids are graduating high school, and only 47% of them can read, write, and do math. So I feel, as I have said over and over again, that our world is being run by affirmative action graduates, and nothing is more evident than the pieces that are falling off the planes. How can you have an intelligent group of people that check and say, oh, the door is secure, when they never even checked the door? That's virtue. That's saying, are the people going to be safe unless I check the door? If I don't check the door, what is the consequences going to be? And unfortunately, we're not teaching any consequences. So, Ray, the micro school is a concept. What is that concept? Because I'm not a teacher. I don't know what to do. How can I be assured that my children will learn, that I can teach them? And I'm a Buddhist. Am I going to send them to a church? How is that going to work? So how can you explain how the mechanisms of the micro school work?
Yeah, the initiative really has so many resources right now. If you go to Florida Citizens Alliance website, goflca.com, you'll see a lot of resources there. I'm part of the Herzog Foundation's mentor program. They have a wonderful program from soup to nuts on how to launch a micro school. If you want to make it a small homeschool co-op type or a hybrid, there's all sorts of options. And then you can decide as to what foundation you want to lay on that. So any person really with enough capability of reading and comprehension can get through these programs and learn how to do that. Then you develop a good team around you to launch the school, to be part of the founding board, and then you will move on to a governing board and then open a school. And really, it can start as small as 10 children. It could be as many as you want. So it could be that one room schoolhouse idea to start and then break off from there. I recently did a wonderful trip up to Rolla, Missouri, to see my father's world curriculum, and it was very biblically based. They're very Judeo-Christian, centered. And really, I love the idea of starting with our world and the creation of our world and the geography, and then going to the humanity of it and what has transpired over history, and learning true historical context. But you know, you marked on something that's so important about the virtue part and laws. In fact, if we really teach children to think on their own and not what to think, but like you said, how to think, then we get into the avenue of self-governance. People don't need a whole bunch of laws if we have this self-governance and a productivity that you'll never see. We haven't seen the likes of since the beginning of this country, a productivity initiative, the free market of ideas, and the free market of production and activity, so that humans can continue to create and innovate without the government taking over. As a matter of fact, we've seen groups pop up after the pandemic, like Moms for Liberty and other groups, who were they couldn't believe what was going on in the textbooks because they started seeing it at home. So it was front and center to them. And in a way, maybe it was a godsend that they were able to see that, to see what their children were being fed. And it opened their eyes to something that they had never known. So they got a little riled up and started going, to these school district meetings. And you and I know this, we've been fighting it for a long time. I even ran for school board in my area. But I see that that system has been designed to do exactly what it's doing. And we're not creating an open world of wonder and joy and initiative and learning these wonderful just literary greats and things of knowledge, going through that classical trivium that goes from the grammar portion, like you were mentioning, then goes into a rhetoric or logic stage, and then to a rhetoric stage. So this classical type of education, to me, is the silver bullet to fight back of what's happening. We just have to have faith in ourselves and strength to say, you know what? Government shouldn't be in the business of educating our kids. We, as parents, as people, understand how important it is to educate our kids and to learn true civics, to learn that we're a republic and how a republic was formed and what that means, and those principles of liberty and American principles that have been completely lost, like you said, have been taken out. It's been horrid what's happening in schools, how they've removed God, they've removed our country, our foundation, and really moved them to this moral relativism that you spoke of.
Well, Ray, I'm not a teacher and I have children, and how am I going to be sure that my children are going to learn something? Don't they have to go to school for 8 hours, and don't they have to sit there and make sure that they get their shots and everything else? How does this work? I'm nervous. So how would that
work?
Well,
again, that's following the program of the government, you know, and we don't really need the government to educate our children. So you can form homeschool co-ops with other parents. Get connected. Start out with Florida Citizens Alliance, but get connected to groups in your area that are either homeschool or they're very private education based. And there are ways now. We've fought for different bills in legislature to be able to use the funds. I often use the term that really was used on Ben Franklin, and it's a Latin term that says "et puit gaula fulmen semtumcre tyrannis," which means he grabbed the scepter from the tyrants. He grabbed the thunderbolt from the sky and the scepter from the tyrants. And we have to grab that power back. Now, I'm not saying, because I'm very against using tax money for that. I would love for parents to take a leap of faith, try to raise funds from businesses around your area, to use other community locations and find ways to gain support so that you can start a school fund. But if need be, and those parents that are needed, I still believe that there's a way to take that money and use it. However, be very, very careful when doing that, because there's always those strings attached. And we've tried with legislation on many times to separate that. Now, as a matter of fact, if you go to my volusia912.org site, I sat before all our legislators and I spelled it out in a freedom initiative for education on a way that we could go ahead and allow parents to take that money, since we're already funding another secular humanist religion. Why not go ahead and use that money for our own use, but also no mandates at all, no government mandates, and allow teachers that are stuck in that horrid system to be able to take their retirement and their insurance and move to wherever these funds are being received. However, as you know, and I know, Karen, it's easier said than done. And so there's still a lot of complexity. It's a new legislation that just came out last year. People are using the Step Up program to their advantage. And I would say use it with caution. Make sure that you're very in tune. And this comes down to parents being very in tune to what is happening in their schools, what is happening with the knowledge that their kids are getting. Make sure that it's based on really that unique and wonderful way of really the Western culture that was created through the Judeo-Christian foundation. People don't want to recognize that. They're trying to destroy it, but that's the truth.
Ray, I don't have kids, so what can I do to help? Can I help? Is there a place for me to be able to do something in this micro school?
Yes, you can plug in and use your time, your talent, your knowledge, your treasure. So it comes down to helping funding. There's a page on Florida Citizens Alliance to help with the initiative. You can help with funding. So parents can and people who don't have children like yourself can go ahead and help in that way, or plug into a group that is already starting one in your area or wherever you can, and be of service, be an advisor. Go in and talk to them about the knowledge that you have. Karen, you have a wealth of knowledge because you've been studying this for a long time. And even though, you know, like you said, you've been a teacher in a different realm, in a different era, a lot of that is based on government programs. We have to change our mindset. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, as the biblical saying goes, to get outside of the box and understand that we don't have to follow the pattern of a public school system, then just inject our own belief system. We can base things on our belief system and create an education system from there. And it takes strength, it takes courage, it takes faith. But I think that we as people have to show that and stand up and set the example, not only for others, but for our children. So they see that we as people can be independent, strong, hardworking, and have our own initiative to learn, really learn how to read, write, arithmetic, all the studies within, you know, literary works, and be able to be very well, you know, known in that aspect, be able to have that knowledge, but tied to the virtue that needs to be instilled as well. Because if we have head knowledge and we don't have the heart knowledge, we're going to be lost as a nation. And we're seeing right before our eyes, we're seeing things that we've never even imagined we'd ever see, not only in our education system, but in our culture. And as you can see, it reflects in our politics. So lawlessness begets lawlessness. So we have to get back to God's rule, God's law, and understand that this man-made thing, the rule of man, is not working. We need to get back to that rule of law.
Well, if you believe, folks, that children are our future, which I do, then applying knowledge is power. Having knowledge and not using it doesn't help. We have to use the knowledge that we have to help those around us. And what a wonderful way to do that with the Florida Micro School. Ray, where can people find you? What you mentioned the website. Can you tell everyone again what you're doing?
Yeah, you can find my information at volusia912.org. And you can also go to goflca.com. We have some great resources there. Great initiatives going on with these micro schools. They're popping up all over the country, and we're starting to see people go through these programs to be able to do that. Herzog Foundation is another great resource. There's a lot of great learning there that can be had, and they have what's called HF for Herzog Foundation Schoolbox.com. You can go there as well. So either
no
on my
excuse.
Website or GoFLCA, you can find all that information.
Right. There's no excuse for doing nothing. Nothing gets
That's
nothing.
The truth.
And
yep.
If we're going to save our country, in quotes, save our country, it's up to us. Nobody's going to come in and save it for us. It's up to us. And we can do so in our own communities. Thank you so much, Ray, for joining me today. You're a wealth of information, and we really appreciate it. So, folks, go flca.org, find out about the micro school, and start one in your area. It is proven that kids that are not going to public school are 30% smarter than those that attend public school. And I can't believe I'm saying that as a teacher, but I'll say it over and over again. We have to get rid of the affirmative action mentality. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Go FLCA, and don't get out of that seat. We'll be right back.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the CofixRx banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. And that is goflca.org. The Alliance is having a gala this week. If you are in the Naples area, please goflca.org. See what this is all about. But folks, get involved. Get involved with the micro school. It is so important that we start teaching our kids instead of training them to be robots and not be able to think. And we have that in our power to do that. And shame on us if we don't. So if you have any time available and you can mentor a child, teach them to read, write, and do math, God bless you. This is what our country needs. We need people to teach our children the truth. And believe me, they are not learning it. And one of the things, this is a show about education, and one of the things that I have been negligent on, and that is what is going on with our J6 people and this phony fake insurrection, which to me was the poorest put together insurrection ever. How can you have an insurrection if there's no weapons, there's no bombs, nobody's destroying furniture, nobody is putting graffiti on the walls, nobody got hurt except two people from the police force. Shame on them. So how is this an insurrection? Well, I believe it was called an insurrection because insurrection is a word that is in the Constitution. So if you can claim it's an insurrection, then you can say, oh, look, he committed an unconstitutional act. But one of the things that we have learned, and remember, this is a show about education, we are learning now that, as always, the truth always comes to the surface. And recently, Molly Hemingway wrote a phenomenal article, and I love her writing because she always documents everything that she does and so far has not been wrong. And she wrote an article about Liz Cheney and how Liz Cheney was suppressing evidence. And then a judge also said that the sentences of the J6 prisoners was absolutely too long for what they quote, committed. So here we have two things that are coming to the surface, and I know there is a lot more. So when that happens and I don't know the answers, I like to talk to people that do. So I have asked Jonathan Mosley to join me today, and I've known Jonathan for a long time, although he hasn't been on the show in a while. Shame on you, Jonathan. We'll have to have you back more. But he has been involved with public policy organizations like Judicial Watch and Freedom Watch. And he's an attorney. He's a constitutional and business attorney for a long time. And now he is advocating and understanding and bringing to the forefront many things that have been happening with J6. So rather than me give you piecemeal information, I've asked Jonathan to come and share what is going on with our J6 prisoners who should all be let out of jail. I don't think any one of them ever should have been in jail to begin with. But that's my opinion. And unfortunately, I don't have the phone and pen, as they say. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jonathan. I really appreciate it. And please help everyone understand what is happening and how the truth is actually being known.
Well, thank you for being here. You know, I missed things. I'm glad for all the work you do. Education is, you know, I used to work at the Department of Education a long, long time ago because I wanted to see change. So I think it's really important what you're doing on that. But it's hard to explain what's going on because, you know, it does seem like the country's going crazy. And we brought 5 days before the 2008 election, you know, Barack Obama said we were 5 days away from fundamentally transforming this country. And, you know, there's a lot of hyperbole in elections. I was in politics before I went to law school. So that kind of is why I'm a little bit unusual in that regard. I was at the University of Florida helping on Reagan Bush there with Tony Ring. But the thing is, so there's a lot of hyperbole, but it's really becoming clear that this is actually happening. I mean, it's like all the, you know, it's like who let the dogs out, so to speak, as the song goes. Everything is happening so fast and so fundamentally. So, for example, with January 6th, this is an area of the law that nobody's ever seen before. It's kind of an inside joke for attorneys. I don't know if it translates, but we call about January 6th jurisprudence, meaning that there's a special body of the law only for January 6th. They don't use any legal principles for anything else. And what they're doing there doesn't necessarily make any sense anywhere else. However, I am very worried that some of the outrages that are happening with the January 6th area and related issues like parents at school boards, if the government gets away with this, they're not going to go back. They're not going to put the toothpaste back in the tube. They're going to, and people may feel like, well, I wasn't in the Capitol. I didn't have anything to do with that. But the way they're fundamentally changing the law and the issue of politics in the law is going to end up affecting everybody. I'm convinced when they have, you know, long after January 6th is forgotten, these changes to the law are going to continue. And we're going to have a country that we never recognized, even if you didn't even know there was a January 6th when it was happening. I worked on the Oath Keeper case. I defended Kelly Meigs here from the middle of Florida, who's one of the Oath Keepers, and Zachary Real, a Proud Boy leader from Philadelphia, real Boy Scout, real clean, you know, guy just being framed. One of the people that we got to know is Carmen Hernandez, is an attorney. She's a liberal. She's a classic liberal. She's an institution in the federal court there. You know, I think they're practicing a joke, but they're going to put up her portrait, you know, in the courthouse. She's so well known, and she is livid. So this is not the way the law is supposed to be. This is not the way we try cases. None of this makes sense. She is furious, and she's not one of us conservatively. You know, she was the one who got up in court and declared that, Your Honor, I just want to make it clear that I am not a confidential human source, undercover FBI source, because there were so many of them. Here's what happened in the Proud Boys case. They would call, the defendants would call witnesses, And they would do it wrong. They'd wait until court was over instead of bringing it up before the judge and say, and then they'd go over to the defense attorney table and say, we got to talk. And then they go in and say, the witness, because the judge wants to know what the plan is. Like, who's going to call what? Okay, tomorrow morning we're calling these people. And, you know, insulting the judge's time, they would then go out and say, you know, your witness that you're going to call tomorrow morning, she's a confidential human source. She's an undercover, you know, she's a government informant of some type or another, throwing the entire case into the trial into chaos in disrespect to the judge. And so that prompted liberal Carmen Hernandez to say that, you know, Your Honor, I just want to make it clear, because everybody had turned up. There's hundreds of undercover people that they keep leaking out and the media doesn't want to cover. That she said, I'm not an undercover FBI agent. Everybody laughed, and I really wish all the lawyers had stood up and done that. Another lawyer, Jonathan Dan Hall, in the in the Proud Boy case, when I joined for Zachary, he called me up, and the first thing he said was, he's a nice guy, sounds nice, but the first thing he said was, I don't agree with you on anything, but I believe in due process, and I'm going to defend. These guys are being railroaded, and I, you know, I'm going to fight it. He's not a conservative, he's a liberal, and he's saying this is not the way our laws are supposed to go. So the in so many ways the laws have been changed, misinterpreted. You know, a creative accountant is not a good thing in terms of, well, I mean, it depends, but. You know, a creative prosecutor is not what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be following the law. They're doing so many things. They're collectivizing things. So, like one woman, Kristen Niemela, she was standing next to a guy that she just met the night at the hotel the night before when they all came together and gathered, and he brushed up against a police officer. So they charged her with assaulting a police officer as well as him because she was just there. And now that sounds absurd, but that is 90% of the J6 cases is you're guilty because you were there. You're guilty of what everybody else did, which is really a collectivist mentality. And this is, you know, we have fought that, and the judges are like, no, we really mean it. You know, if you were in the vicinity of a crime, you're guilty of the crime. That has never been the law, you know, anywhere. And except maybe, I don't know, Nazi Germany or, you know, or something like that. But that is not how it goes. And that has been accepted, that the courts have not yet slapped that down.
Do you think that the courts will slap it down in an appeal? Because if that's a precedent, then, I mean, let's say you're standing on a street and somebody gets murdered, then you're involved in that murder. You could be indicted. You could be sent to jail because you happened to be on the street if somebody was murdered or was, you know, pickpocketed or whatever it is that they're going to accuse them of. How is that possible?
Well, it is, and then yes, the excuse they use is that the people who did break down and engage in violence, although there's a wonderful documentary, J6 Timeline, by A.J. Fisher, who I'm helping some attorneys with, that puts it in order. You see all these videos, tiny fragments. The building is 750 feet long, so we see these fragments. He just puts it in order, and you can see most of the violence was provoked by the police. And
yes.
I think, and I don't want to be bash the police, but there's evidence that some of the people were panicking over the radio, the police radio. So the police were led to believe this was Armageddon, this was the end of the world. And so the police overreacted, I think, because they were incited by the police. But anyway, so what they're saying is that if you didn't have, you know, there are a few people who assaulted police, which means any unwanted touching. So if you brush up against somebody, that's an assault under the law. No harm done. But anyway, so assaulting the police, and there are a few people, obviously, who got into some bloody battles, and that, you know, that's not right. But that they couldn't have done that without the bystanders, the numbers. So they're saying that, oh, you didn't do anything. You, your numbers made it possible for other people to do things. Now, they haven't been charged with conspiracy. They haven't been charged with aiding and abetting. that, you know, if somebody was working together in a, you know, in a concerted way, there are rules that would have to apply before you can charge them with that. They haven't charged them with that. So, you know, so like, for example, Kristen Niemela, who really got a raw deal, we did fight with the law firm I was working with that, she, you know, she cannot be punished in sentencing for what other people did. And the judge said, yes, I agree. She can only be punished for what she did. But what she did was she joined a mob. Like, but
by standing there, she joined the mob.
Exactly. And so she's just standing there. And like, well, what is there, a membership card? You know, do you have to fill out an application? Is there a sign-up sheet for being part of the mob? Somebody just want, I mean, there's one undercover cop who just wandered through to see what's going on. And we have pushed back on this. People should know that people wonder, like, why don't the judges do this? Well, I mean, the attorneys do this. We have. The judges just either they never rule on it, they ignore it, or they side with the government. Which is frightening. Now, you talk about appeals. The D.C. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. is about as bad as the biased juries and the biased judges. So it's not, you know, we've gotten some relief there, but we're going to have to put an awful lot of burden on the Supreme Court to slap all this nonsense down. I think the good thing is that any decent judge is going to be shocked by hearing something like their raindrop theory, that everybody was like, everybody contributed because they were like raindrops on a baseball field. Like, that is not the law. That is nonsense. I mean, when I saw Judge Colleen Collar-Catelli write about the raindrop theory, I thought the men in white coats were going to come and give her a rest somewhere. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, so there was a decision in the Court of Appeals, the intermediary, that the way they calculated the sentencing was wrong. The sentencing is not just a number they pull out of the hat. It's this really complicated formula, but they play all kinds of games with it the same way they did. So they like double, triple count the same thing. If people, I mean, I swear to God, this sounds shocking, but people who don't plead guilty and they go to trial, and the jury doesn't believe them and convicts them, they're being sentenced for perjury.
Oh my God.
Because they said they're not guilty. And so because the judge, now they're not charging them with perjury, which means they'd have to actually prove it. But they're being sentenced as if, you know, as if they obstructed justice by claiming to be innocent. I mean, that's like really big.
Whoa, that's way, way out there.
I wish it weren't true, but it's happened multiple times. And again, the defense attorneys are pushing back. And that, I mean, the problem is to get all of this right, there's going to have to be a massive amount of work by the Supreme Court. It's like the Supreme Court is going to have to do nothing but set these things straight. So, I think the Supreme Court is sort of recognizes this is not, you know, like people say, this is not the America I grew up in. They're saying this is not the law as we've known it. But we're putting an awful lot of cases hoping that the Supreme Court is going to fix them all. And that's just a lot. And that's like if they all the normal caseload, they'd have to just set it aside. So the thing is, they decided that when they allegedly obstructed the official proceeding of Congress, the joint Congress, which is a lot of nonsense, that they sentenced them as if they obstructed justice. So the thing is that they decided that no, that you know, you can't sentence people more harshly. Because they allegedly, in some unknown way, just by breathing. I mean, I've been putting this in pleadings for like 2 years, 2.5 years, saying that like Zachary Real cannot be charged with obstructing the joint session of Congress simply by standing there and breathing. You know, it's like unauthorized breathing. And Nobody seems to think this is crazy work.
I don't. What I don't understand is how do they get the judges to twist the law like this? I mean, this is a blatant violation of everything that anything in America of the way our legal system is supposed to work. How do they get the judges to go along with this? That's what I'm confused about.
I don't know. You know, a judge is not, like a jury, is not supposed to decide based on what they read in the news. But I think it's very obvious that the judges are ruling on motions and things like that based on the news coverage and the hysteria, not based on the facts that are brought into their courtroom. I mean, they've referred to things like the Oath Keepers. They hear, you know, big chapter here in Florida. One judge, you know, ruled on a bail motion saying that it's a hierarchical institution. So he doesn't believe that the head, like Kelly Meigs in Florida or Stuart Rhodes Nationwide, he doesn't believe that these people did it without being ordered. There's no evidence that Stuart Rhodes did anything. Really, Kelly Meigs didn't either. But we're going to assume that they must have ordered the Oath Keepers to go into the Capitol because it's a hierarchical military institution. There's no evidence of that.
I was just going to say an assumption has nothing to do with evidence. How can you send somebody on an assumption? But that's really what's going on. That's going on with Trump as well, because all of his cases are based on assumptions. You know, right. I'm saying it's so it's going to be so. You were standing there and maybe you had the intent of sneezing and we'll charge you with sneezing. This is the thought police coming after us.
And the thing is, it is frightening because what the left has figured out is that the D.C. juries voted, I mean, the voters voted 92.1% for Biden. And the judge, we're working on a huge new change of venue motion that gets a lot more data than ever before. But the thing is that if they can bring, I mean, the government is here. So if they can bring cases into D.C., they can rule the whole country with very left-wing judges, because the D.C. is stacked with left-wing judges and a left-wing court of appeals and left-wing juries. So they've realized they can harass the entire country this way. I don't care if you say, well, I'm in Idaho, I'm safe. No, you're not.
Nobody will be safe any place. Right. And you know what? You're absolutely right, because I see this happening with other cases that, they're just making up rules that are irrelevant and then charging you for not complying with their irrelevant, ridiculous rules. And unless we get a set of legislators that actually say, wait a minute, the 10th and 9th and 10th Amendment holds true, and we're not going to follow your stupid mandates and rules, where do we go from there? And this we see happening, for example, in the blue states. This is going on a continual basis, going after the beef industry or this industry or that industry. It seems to be the new way of governing. So what is going to happen to these people? Where does this go from here?
We have to fight. We have to change this mentality. The philosophy you talked about seems to be the new philosophy. I don't know where it came from, except the woke people just sort of came out of the closet at some point and just. But you're right. Everything you said is exactly right. And assumptions and, you know, one of the things is that when people have these chat groups, they'll take things out of context, they'll flip. And I mean, it used to be you say, wait, that's out of context. You can't do it. There's a rule against it. Now it's like, no, I'll allow it. So, I mean, things you say, well, I never said anything like that. But don't worry. We'll hand it to the editor and we'll make you say that. You said it. You just don't realize that you said it until we tell you what you meant. So the thing is we're trying to fight this on the big categories right now, because we're totally overwhelmed. We're trying to get more lawyers, by the way. Anyone who wants to help, they don't have to be DC lawyers. They can be waived in. But the thing is that if we fight it one by one, we're just going to be swamped. But at the moment, you know, unless the Supreme Court steps up and starts throwing some of these things out, it's going to be there's not going to be much hope unless Trump can pardon them as president. I find it hard to believe that any president could do that on a blanket basis without having a review process to separate out, you know, the people who, you know, just demonstrated there versus if anyone did anything actually. But the thing is, it's not just whether they did anything wrong. It's the sentencing. Andrew McCarthy, the lawyer and the commentator, he calculates or he publicizes that the sentencings are about 400% higher than for the same crime, non-J6, the same crime, you know, criminal charges. Wow. And so I think Trump is going to have to set up a review process for people to, you know, to apply. And the, like, for example, when Kavanaugh, the Oath Keepers and the Provost, neither side had a single witness that said there was any plan or conspiracy. None. But they were convicted of it anyway. Yeah,
right. Well, Jonathan, you said that you need attorneys. Where can people find you? Where can we send you? Hopefully, we'll be able to find some attorneys that will help folks. This is our country. And from what I'm hearing from Jonathan, it's not going to stop with J6. It's going to filter throughout our whole country if we don't stop this communist, Marxist, globalist takeover. It's going to be in every single industry. And they can't get away with it. The only reason why they are is because we're letting them. Remember, power is something that you have. And the only way someone can have power over you is if you give it to them. And we have to stop giving it to them. So where can people find you? And you're going to have to come back and keep us updated on what's going on.
Yeah, I've been trying to set up a time, you know, crises and fires keep popping up, a website at needjanuary6lawyers.com. And we're going to try to have I was hoping to have it yesterday, but we're going to have to postpone it, but have a webinar for attorneys who might be interested, and they can talk to existing January 6th defense lawyers and say, you know, what to expect and things like that. So it's needjanuary6lawyers.com, although it's not up yet. I've got to do it and just got to do everything. But it will be hopefully up in a day or two.
Folks, have a wonderful weekend. Have a wonderful week. Your homework is to pay attention and see if you can find a lawyer, or even if you're a paralegal, I'm sure that would help also.
Yes.
Anything.
Yes.
In anything in the law field, please contact Jonathan. Thank you so much, Jonathan. Appreciate you and what you're doing. See you again next week, folks. Have a wonderful week.